I'm doing a series entitled The Sevens in Revelation. And I'm doing the series on sevens in Revelation because the number seven in the Bible means more than just seven. It actually has a spiritual meaning behind the number. The spiritual meaning is spiritual perfection or completion. The number seven. And so we're going through the book of Revelation. We're looking at the sevens. But before we do that, I want to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for how tremendously blessed our Sabbath school and beginning of church service has been. And we want your presence now to remain and to especially teach us as we look at this special seven today in the book of Revelation. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, and keep Satan away so there be no distractions or interruptions. And we can clearly see and hear, see your face and hear your voice. Lord, use me in spite of me, and thank you that you will do this, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There we go. To many people, the book of Revelation is a closed book. Do you know that? And I want to tell you, first of all, there really is very little argument over the author of the book of Revelation. They all feel that it's John the Apostle. John was the youngest of the disciples, and John was the only one who was not martyred. You knew that, right? And tradition tells us that in the time of Domitian's, the emperor Domitian's persecution of Christians, that they took John to the Colosseum and they dipped him in boiling oil. And he not only survived, but he came out. I'm still here. And so he had no alternative but to put him on the island of Patmos, where he was there exiled, supposedly for the rest of his life, but Domitian passed away, and when he did, John was released to go home. He was in his 90s. Ephesus was where he ended up to be. Now, I read on the internet, and believe me, not everything on the internet do I believe, folks, and I hope you have the same cautious approach to things on the internet. I never heard this before. They claim that he was boiled in oil in the Colosseum, and when he came out alive with no harm or hurt on him like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the whole Colosseum was converted. Now, I'm serious. I read that. But I never had heard that before, not even in the seminary. I believe he was boiled in oil, but I didn't know it was in the Colosseum. But I want to tell you something. God blesses His people. And children, I want you to take out a paper and the bulletin or whatever and write the word blessed. B-L-E-S-S-C-D. And I want you to put a little mark every time I say that word. I haven't started yet. Okay? B-L-E-S-S-E-D. I haven't started yet. And every time I say that word, I want you to put a check mark. And when you're done, I want you to tell me. And I'm going to try to remember and count how many times I say it. God does bless His people. So let us begin. So what is the book of Revelation that many people think is a closed book say about itself in the very first verse? It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant, John. Now let's notice two things about the very opening verse. The first is revelation, or in the Greek, apocalyptis, means unveiling. In fact, when you see the seal on that book of Revelation, and many Christians believe it's a closed book, it's just the opposite of what the title of the book is. What is it? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling, the revealing, the opening. Jesus is showing us His heart in this incredible book. It is not a closed book. Secondly, I want you to see the divine pipeline. It clearly states, God gave it to Jesus. And Jesus gave it to His angel. His angel gave it to John, and John gave it to the people. That's just how it works. By the way, you want to see that? You take your children in the Bible and take them to the feeding of the 5,000. It says Jesus told His disciples to sit down, have them sit down in groups. And when they were all settled, He lifted up His hands and His face to heaven, thank God for the food. And at that point, some of the disciples were ready to say, "You can't pray that prayer. There's 15 to 20,000 people here. We only have 5 little tiny loaves of bread." He said, "I thank You for feeding us. In Jesus' name, amen." Then it says that He took the food and He gave it to His disciples, and He told His disciples to give it to the people. And when every single one of the 15 to 20,000 were fed, then He said, "Pick up the remnants and give it to the people to take home to other people who need food." The divine pipeline. By the way, are you receiving any food every day from Jesus? If you are, then you've got something to give. If you're not, you have nothing to give. Oh, I'm way off the point here. I'm sorry. So we are seeing that the book of Revelation is not a closed book. It's an open book. And we're looking straight at the beautiful unveiling of Jesus' heart to His people in the divine pipeline. And so today we're going to look at the next sevens in Revelation, and that is the 7 Beatitudes. And the 7 Beatitudes are the 7 blesseds of the book of Revelation. Now, blessed in the Greek is Makarios. I'm sorry for that. Makarios. You can see the transliteration. I see that it destroyed my Greek when I gave you my stick. But anyway, that's all right. It means supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, blessed, happy. Did you know there are 7 blesseds in the book of Revelation? And we're going to look at all 7 of them, and a couple of them we're going to highlight. But I want to introduce them to you because, remember, 7 stands for completeness. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 blessed, and I'm sure there's something here for everyone today to glean from this blessed presentation of God's blessing to His people. So let's take a look at the first one. I want you to read it with me. It happens to be verse 3. Are you ready? "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy," I don't hear you, "and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." No, that's Revelation 1:3. The very third verse of the Bible, the very third verse of the book of Revelation starts with a blessed. Those that read and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now I want you to tell me what other book in the Bible you remember reading that. I'll let you think about it. The very first thing John gives to us, who he received from God, that he gave to his angel, who gave it to his servant John to give to you and I, is blessed are the ones who take this book, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and they read it or hear it. Now, what does that mean? Let me tell you why. Back then, many of the people were illiterate. When the letters came from the apostles, somebody stood up who could, and they read it out loud. Blessed is a person that reads, but not only the person that reads, but the masses that can't read. That's what it says, right? Oh, and one other thing I almost forgot. And keep the words, or keep those things which are written therein. Not just the mind, but the heart also. The action is put in there, folks. You know, again on the internet, this was amazing to me. We're so blessed being brought up in the culture of Adventism in a church that believes in the authority of the Bible. I got on the internet and found that I assume to be a very sincere Christian, by the way it was worded, brought into question the validity of the book of Revelation because it says, and keep those things which are written therein. That's works. Are you listening to me? I was like horrified. I thought, does your wife like you going out with other women? You better keep the vow you made, because if you don't, your wife has any brains, she'll leave you. But God puts it in His Word, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, this is no longer salvation by grace through faith, this is salvation by works. That is a bunch of heresy. For the very first blessing, the book of Revelation calls us to task that you just don't hear and you just don't read, you act on it. If you're not acting on it, you're not really part of the Christian community, no matter how much money you give and how often you're at church. Why? Because it's not a bunch of behaviors, it's a relationship with Jesus. When you discover that He knows what's best for us, we want to do what He wants us to do, that's when we're safest. And that's when we are blessed. Yes. And so that's the first one. By the way, you want to take a second? Oh man, it's getting late. Look at Luke 11:28. This is the closest thing I could find to blessed in the Bible, besides the Beatitudes. Look at 11:28. And I find this kind of interesting. Maybe I won't even state why, and some of you will right away understand why. But look what it says here. In fact, I'm going to start with verse 27. Do you have Luke 11? Luke 11:27, 28. It says this, "It came to pass as He spake these things," that's Jesus, "certain women in the company lifted up her voice and said unto Him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." That's talking about who? Mary. Yeah. And listen what Jesus answered the person who wanted to extol His mother. He said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and what? And what? And keep it." Oh no, now we got to get rid of the book of Luke. This is salvation by works, right? I want you to see that God expects His people not only to hear, not only to read, but He expects them to do. Let's take a look at the second blessed. And that's chapter 14, verse 13. Read it with me. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me," right, "blessed are they, are the dead which died in the Lord from henceforth." By the way, when you look at this verse, you'll see there's a little bit more that I didn't include in the, it's in the text, but I didn't include it there. For room, it said, "which have died in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Now, I want you to look at the context here. Remember last week we looked at the first seven? We looked at the chapter 7, we looked at the chapter 14, and we looked at chapter 21. 1:7, 2:7, 3:7. And in chapter 14, we discovered it introduced us to the group of people of the last days called the 144,000. And we discovered that they have a message to give to the world, which includes the Sabbath and the judgment. And I want you to notice that in that context, it says, blessed are they that are the dead which died in the Lord from this point on. And that's because this point on, when the Seventh-day Adventist Church came into existence, just prior to it, the persecutions of the Dark Ages ceased. And people could now keep the commandments of God without fear of reprisal, but were headed in a different direction, right? That's going to change, right? And so, therefore, it says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from this point on. They're very fortunate. They don't have to face what's coming. God lays to rest His people that need to be laid to rest. And those that aren't laid to rest, He will fortify to deal with the situation they have to. Let's look at the third blessed of the book of Revelation. That happens to be chapter 16, 15. What's the context of chapter 16? The seven last plagues. That is correct. And of all places, notice in the sixth plague, it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So right here in the midst of the seven last plagues being poured out, which is called the wrath of God, and it's told that it's the plagues of those who receive the mark of the beast and worship his image. Right here it says, but there is a group of people who will keep their garments so they don't walk naked and their enemy won't see their shame. Blessed are they. And so we are encouraged to remember the blessed people are those who allow Jesus to give His robe of righteousness instead of you and I trying to put on nice clothes, thinking that we'll get by. For there's nothing woven in the looms of earth that could ever cover us like the robe that Jesus wove from Calvary's cross. Blessed is the person who in the last days, in the time of trouble, keeps his garment so that he won't walk naked and they, his enemies, see their shame. Let's take a look at the next blessed. Is this number 4? Revelation 19:9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many of you want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Yeah, that goes without saying. I'm surprised at how few of you want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Shame on you. Remember, not just hear and read, but do. I want to be there. And what a time that's going to be. We're going to sit down and eat with Jesus. In the culture I come from, that's the highest form of compliment. I want to eat with you. And there's a marriage supper coming up. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And we have received invitations. And those that receive the invitation and accept them will be blessed. And who are they? They are the ones that hear the word of this prophecy or read it and keep those things that are found therein. That's who's blessed, and that's what God has encourages people. Number 5, found in Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. Wow. Now, I'm going to highlight this at the end of the sermon, but I want you to take this in just for a second. Some of you may be so new that you were caught a little off guard by this phrase, the second death. What in the world is the second death? All I know is this, blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection. By the way, that means there's a second resurrection, right? But it doesn't talk about the second resurrection. Instead, it says that on such the second death has no power. That must mean the second death has power on the second resurrection group. Well, we'll take a look at that at the end of this sermon. But let's move to the sixth blessed in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Wait a minute. Didn't we do this one already? Didn't we do this one already? Boy, you're really tentative today. No, we didn't. No, we didn't do anything in 22. This is the first time. But we did hear this before, didn't we? And it's almost like when you're a parent and you go, hello, I started this in the very first chapter. Blessed is they that read and hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are found therein. But just in case you missed it, I want you to know, blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Don't let anybody in between chapter 1 and chapter 20, which is the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, try to fool you that the God of heaven doesn't require of his people faithful obedience. Because we have the character of Jesus, not because he told us to do it. And so the blessings of the Revelation, the book of Revelation, incredible as they are. Take a look at the last one. This one's a little controversial. I love it. Let's read it together. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. Wow. This is sort of just like the one in verse 7, isn't it? This is sort of like the one over in verse 3 of chapter 1. But just so we don't miss it, it says, again, blessed are they that do his commandments. Now let me share something with you here and show you to me how serious an issue this is. Do you have a Bible in your hand other than the King James or the New King James? Open it up to Revelation 22, verse 14. Everybody open it up, whether you got King James, New King James, or another version of the Bible. Okay? 22, 14. My Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments. If you have the New King James, what does it say? Blessed are they that do his commandments. If you do not have either King James or New King James, what does it say? Blessed are those who wash their robes. Man, now wait a minute. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that wash their robes. I looked it up in the Greek. It says wash their robes. But that's from the manuscript of Sinaiticus in the Alexandrian, folks. And you should know what I'm talking about. Yes. The manuscripts. The only complete manuscripts that exist. There's three of them. Two I mentioned, Sinaiticus, Alexandria, and Vaticanus. But the Alexandrian, the Sinaiticus, happens to not say keep the commandments. It says wash their robes. Now, I want to tell you something. You can wash your robe all you want and it's still going to be filthy with sin. Only Jesus can wash your robe. I believe that these are adulterated texts in the newer versions of the Bible to get rid of the statement, keep the commandments of God. The only problem is, in chapter 12, verse 17, it says, and the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, right? It says that in chapter 12, verse 17. But don't forget that in chapter 14, in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And by the way, notice it says the faith of Jesus. It does not say faith in Jesus. See, that's like washing your own robes. It isn't my faith. It isn't your faith. It's got to be Jesus' faith. And only He can give you that faith. Only He can give you that robe. And that's why I believe that the King James and New King James are the correct translation, because they are based on the majority text. And in the majority text it says, blessed are they that keep the commandments, that do the commandments. The final blessed in the book of Revelation reminds us that the commandments of God, which is the transcript of God's character, will be exemplified by His people, not because He ordered it, but because they have His character and they desire to be like Him and not themselves. Folks, it's the faith of Jesus. And when we can wash our robes, I'd rather have Jesus give me His new robe. Well, let's close here. I want to highlight Revelation. The fifth blessed. Remember what that was? Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. What in the world is the second death? Take a look at Revelation 20, verse 14. You got your Bibles? Turn to 20, verse 14. All right, let's try to figure out what this second death is. It says here, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay, so now we know what the second death is. But let's make sure we understand it fully. So let's look at verse 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire, of the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So why are you blessed if you have part in the first resurrection and not the second? Because you won't experience the second death. The second death, folks, is the lake of fire that's poured out on those who rejected Jesus, and that fire puts them out of their ministry, and they are separated from God for eternity because they no longer exist. The second death is eternal separation from the Father. And only those who are in the second resurrection have to face the second death. Those who are in the first resurrection do not face the second death. You want to know why? Because you see, that other group is a group of sinners. And by the way, what are we? Sinners. Why don't we have to face the second death? Maybe somebody said it. Because Jesus Christ experienced the second death on the cross of Calvary in our behalf. Folks, if you think our Savior just went through an uncomfortable time for a while in which He hurt really bad, but soon He's going to wash His hands and be back with the Father and it's all over, you do not understand why He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? What did I do? That's straight from Psalms 22. And it's repeated in Matthew and in Mark. That the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and Creator, went through on the cross of Calvary for 4 hours the agony of total separation from the Father. And it wasn't until just before He died that God gave Him back the assurance. Up until that point, He never thought He would see the Father again. And I ask over and over, if that's the case, Jesus, why didn't You come off the cross of Calvary? And He said to me, Peter, if I did, you would have to experience the second death. Thank You, Jesus. The sevens of the book of Revelation are incredible. And it tells us about Jesus. And there is no one else in the world, in society, in history, that can ever take the place of a relationship with Jesus Christ. My prayer is that Jesus is the Lord of your life and we make Him the focus of this church and every ministry and every person that's found in it. Father in heaven, I want to thank You for the blessings throughout the book of Revelation that encourage us to continue to hang on and hang in there, and that You will come through, and that if You're a God who can face the second death on the cross so that we can have salvation, then You'll certainly give us whatever else we need to help us make it. Bless each one who's here, Father. Don't let anyone here be discouraged. Don't let anyone here be fearful, anxious. And if they are, Father, please speak to them and tell them, come to our Bible studies. Come to our prayer times and prayer meetings. And there they'll find that Jesus answers prayer, that He does care, and that there is hope and help for any and all. And if there's anybody here, Lord, who needs to make that decision for You, I pray that You would move on their heart and they would make that decision. And before they walk out the door of this church, they come up to one of the elders or up to me and say, I got to tell you what I did. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior today at the invitation of the pastor. So then we can pray for you and pray with you right on the spot, that it would be verified by someone else. And that way, it'll be solidified more fervently in heaven, because Satan will come and try to tell you, you made a mistake in doing that. So Lord, work now with Your mighty Spirit on all our hearts, and let no one leave here without satisfying the claim You have on us to be Your best friend. So bless and let there be a response, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.